Bless you. I want you to take your Bible and turn to our next Old Testament book. The book of Jonah, please. The book of Jonah, chapter number one. I like doing that to you just to get some feedback. I do that and look at you and you just kind of stare at me like, you know. The book of Jonah, chapter number one. We'll begin our reading in verse number one. Jonah chapter one, verse one. I've got a shocking statement for you. I'm not going to get through this message this morning. We'll conclude it tonight, God willing. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. It's in there, folks. You can use your table of contents if you need to do that. It's in there. Amos, Obadiah, the book of Jonah. You say, I don't know where Amos and Obadiah is, so that didn't help me at all, you know. Crack myself up there, you know. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, So that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, cast me forth into the sea. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself here. I'll get to this tonight. But keep in mind, Jonah has no idea about the great fish, my friends. He doesn't know that the Lord has a whale ready to swallow him whole. Now stay with me here. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I knew that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark a phrase in verse number one. It's the phrase Jonah, the son of Amittai. Jonah, the son of Amittai. We'll only get started with this particular message from verse 1 all the way down to verse number 16. Let's pray together. Father, we love you today. We thank you for the privilege to pray. Thank you for the sweet spirit that I have felt in my own heart today, singing about victory in Jesus and these other precious songs that were sung. And I pray as we come to this vital time in this service where the Word of God is opened, may you apply it to our hearts. Help us not to only understand what you're saying, but help us to understand what you're saying to us. Speak to us. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we come to another wonderful book of the Old Testament of God's precious Word. It's the book of Jonah. The name Jonah means dove. And this book has been called the book of the unwilling prophet and the book of God's mercy. It's also been called the greatest missionary book. Jonah was called to be a foreign missionary sent out of Israel. And he's the only Old Testament prophet that Jesus Christ likened himself to in Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 to 41. Now in this book we see the wind, we see the sea, we see the fish, the gourd, the worm, and sun were all servants of God. And Jonah was going to learn to be. In other words, the wind obeyed him, the sea obeyed him, the fish obeyed him, the gourd obeyed him, the worm obeyed him, the sun obeyed him. And now he's bringing one of his servants to come into obedience to him like the rest of these things were. A couple of outlines of the book would be this. First of all, Jonah running from God in chapter 1. Number 2, Jonah running to God in chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. Number 3, Jonah running with God in chapter 2, verse 10 through chapter 3, verse 9. And number 4, Jonah running ahead of God, chapter 3, verse 10 through chapter 4, verse 8. Another outline would be the prodigal prophet in chapter 1, the praying prophet in chapter 2, the preaching prophet in chapter 3, and the pouting prophet in chapter 4. When the average person comes to this book, one of the first things they think about is the great fish that swallowed Jonah. Matter of fact, when you think of the name Jonah, the natural mind automatically thinks about the whale. But let us not forget that this book is not about a fish, my friends. This book is not about Nineveh, and it's not even about Jonah. But it's about a God who loves both Jews and Gentiles. As a matter of fact, in this book, the Lord has the first word. In other words, when it opens, the book opens, God is speaking. And when the book closes, God is speaking. God has the first and last word in this entire book. Now, as we come to this opening chapter, I want you to ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Let me remind you what I've said before, and I shared this with Ambassador Baptist College, and I'm beginning to share this in a lot of places where I go. In other words, I hope my preaching has already done this, but I'm just emphasizing so you think about it. These Bible facts about Jonah and Nineveh and God, these are Bible facts. But if these facts are not applied to your heart, it's not going to change you at all. God does not give us the Bible so we know it. He wants us, now I'm not belittling that, He does want us to know it. But He gave us the Word of God to change our life, my friends. In other words, if you know the fact that you're a sinner and Jesus died for you and that He's the only way to heaven, that fact is great to know, but until you apply it to your life and trust Christ, it doesn't change your heart at all. So as we come to this opening chapter, ask God to speak to you. One of the major gripping thoughts that I'm thinking about as I preach nowadays is how every time the Word of God is opened, the voice of God is speaking. This is God's Word. God is speaking to us. Now, what is He saying? I want you to ask yourself this question. What is God saying to me in this message? Now, this being the case, there are several things about Jonah I want to bring out. I'm only going to get to two of them, and I'm not even going to get through point two. Number one, let's notice Jonah's call. We see this in verses 1 and 2. Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, here's his call now, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, in this call of the Lord to Jonah, he is commissioned by God to go to a city by the name of Nineveh and cry against it for their wickedness before the Lord. Now, in this call, we see the Lord speaks to Jonah and gives him specific instructions of where to go and what to do when he gets there. Then God mentions the reason that he's sending his servant is because of their wickedness that had come before him. Now, it's important that you understand the context of this, and it's important that you understand a little bit about the city of Nineveh, because you don't understand Jonah's running until you understand his reason, my friends. Now, understand this, that Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrians built by Nimrod. This Assyrian king, now get it, the Assyrian king acknowledged his people's ways were evil and violent. These people believed themselves to be invincible. The Assyrians, and Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrians, were brutal people. They were relentless people and committed horrible acts of horror to those that they conquered. Excuse me. But they invented a way to fillet the human body. They invented a way to literally skin a person alive without killing them, so as to make their suffering so intense as they're dying. They would take boys and girls and kill them before they killed their parents in front of their parents' eyes. It's been said that cities would commit suicide so as not to fall into the hands of the Ninevites. Nahum speaks about them. Don't turn here. Just hold your place in Jonah. But Nahum speaks concerning this city of Nineveh. In Nahum 3, verses 1 and following, listen to this. Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of a whip and the noise of the rattling of wheels and of the prancing horses and of the jumping chariots. The horseman lifteth up both the right sword and the glittering spear, and there's a multitude of slain and a great number of carcasses, and there is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame, and I will cast abominable filth upon thee and make thee vile, and will set thee as a gazing stock. And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for her? Verse 19, there's no healing of thy bruise. Thy wound is grievous. All that hear the bruit of thee shall clap the hands over thee. For upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually? God speaks about this city of Nineveh. And understand, the Assyrians would be a people, according to prophecy, that would end up defeating Jonah's people, the Israelites. Therefore, put this into perspective. The call of God to Jonah was a call to go to a people who were prophesied to defeat his people. And it was, and these were people who were brutal savages who seemingly had no regard for other human lives. Somebody said, and I quote, you will never understand God's command until you understand God's compassion. I'm telling you that God was calling Jonah to a people who hated others who did not belong to them. Sound familiar, my friends? He was calling Jonah to a people who were brutal savages who would kill people at the drop of a hat. He was calling Jonah to a people that, according to prophecy, would come and they would defeat the Israelites. D.L. Moody pictured it this way, talking about another scene, about being called to some people that you really don't want to go to. D.L. Moody recalled the scene on the mountain slope when the risen Lord was commissioning his first disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. D.L. Moody pictured Peter's wide-eyed wonder as he asked Jesus if they must go to those who drove the nails through his hands. Again, Peter asked if they must go to the man who drove the spear into the master's side. And Jesus said, yes, tell him there's a nearer way to my heart than that. I'm telling you that God loves all people, my friends. It makes no difference how brutal they are, how awful they are to fellow human beings. Makes no difference who they are, whether they be Israelites or Ninevites. God loves all people. And he wants all people to be saved. And he calls a man. God was calling Jonah to a brutal people who had no regard for human life. There's his call. Now, it's going to slow down a little bit. Of course, it never slows down in my preaching. I know that. But number two, not only Jonah's call, but let's notice, secondly, Jonah's choice. What did Jonah do when God called him to go to Nineveh? The Bible says in verse number 3, but Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now we see in these verses, all the way down through verse number 6, how Jonah responded to the call of God on his life to go to these brutal people. Jonah chose rather to rise up and flee to Tarshish. Now when you look at geography here, that's going in the complete opposite direction as where God told him to go. And let me say here that nobody stands still when it comes to God's call. In other words, God calls his children to be soul winners. God calls every one of his children to certain things. Nobody stands still in the call of God. Nobody says, I'm not going to go either way. I'm going to stand still. Nobody stands still when it comes to God's call. You're either moving toward the direction he told you to go or you're going the opposite direction, my friends. There is no in between. Now, this being the case, we see the choice that Jonah made was to go in the opposite direction. And you and I today are either what I'm talking about towards the will of God, the call of God, the commission of God in our lives. Apply it to whatever he's told you to do, whatever he's commanded you to do. Are you moving in that direction or are you going the opposite? Jonah chose to go in the opposite. Now get this, God told him go, Jonah said no. God spoke to him. And we see later in verse number 9 that Jonah said, I fear the Lord. Really? He said, I fear God. And he said, by the way, he's the maker of the sea and the dry land. Jonah knew this was God speaking to him. Jonah knew that God had every right to ask him to go. Jonah knew what God had done in his life. But Jonah didn't want to obey. So he chose no. Hudson Taylor put it this way, we should not here at home be seeking God as to whether his will is that we should go, but is it his will that we stay? In other words, Christians today say, well, does God want me to go? Does God want me to go? Does God want me to go? Hudson Taylor says, we ought to be praying, God, do you want me to stay? Do you want me to stay? Do you want me to stay? In other words, we ought to be going until God stops us, not stopping until God sends us. He's already sent us, my friends. He's already told us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are you obeying that? Or are you saying, I'm not qualified? That's going the opposite direction. You say, well, no, I don't know how. I'm scared to death to go soul winning. I'm scared to death to go into all the world. That's going the opposite direction. You know what you're doing? You're getting on the boat going to Tarshish. Because God never said go in your own strength. He simply said go to Nineveh and preach against the preaching that I bid thee. Now, this being the case, there's several things about Jonah's choice that I want us to see in these verses. By the way, we're not going to get through this second point. I hope you'll be back tonight. Because one of the major points that comes out under his choice, I'm opening up with it tonight. I hope you'll be here. I hope you'll be here. There's several things that I see about the choice of Jonah. By the way, before we point an indicting finger at Jonah, let us ask ourselves, how many times have we been prompted by God to do something and we didn't do it? How many times have you been out and about and God laid on your heart, give that person a track, and you said no? I've been there. I'm not too small of a man to say that that's happened to me. And I feel like a piece of dirt when I do that. You ever been out doing something or something and God put something on your heart? I want you to do that. Have you ever said no to God? Be careful. Because before we reach up and pat our backs, we understand that all of us have said no to God at some point in our life. All of us have been where Jonah is right here. Now, this being the case, I want to start sharing some things with you. Just going to get started sharing some things about his choice. Number one, his choice had a purpose. Someone said you don't understand Jonah's running until you understand Jonah's reason. And when we study this book, we see that Jonah had a purpose for making this decision. Now, as we look at this purpose for going in the opposite direction, I see two reasons he ran. There's two purposes he had. First of all, he had the purpose of getting away from the voice of God. Now stay with me here. Now, he thought that by getting on the boat heading to Tarshish that he would escape the will of God for his life. The Bible says that he went down, direct quote, from the presence of the Lord. In other words, he was getting as far away from the place where God's voice was dealing with him. Now, I'm telling you, God has spoken to me here. Here's the point. He knows that he can't really flee from the presence of God. He's going to find that out. Then what does that phrase mean? From the presence of the Lord. From the presence of the Lord. He can't get away from the presence of the Lord. The Lord's going to send that storm. The Lord's going to send a great whale. Then what does that phrase mean? He went down from the presence of the Lord. He was going from the presence of the Lord. I maintain with you that what that means is that he was getting away from the place where he met with God. What happens when God calls somebody to do something, they don't do it? And they live in disobedience and they do not want to do it. They refuse to do it. What do? They get as far away from the places where God speaks to them about it. That could be a church. That could be Bible reading. Wherever the voice of God is speaking to them, then what they do is they flee from that presence of the voice of God. Could it be that there are people not in church today because God told them to do something and they refuse to do it, so they have separated themselves from the presence of the Lord in that place where God was dealing with their heart so strongly? His purpose was, I'm getting away from the place where God spoke to me. Dangerous place to be in life, my friends. But he had another purpose. He had another purpose. There's a disagreement as to why Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. Why did he not want to go? And some people say, well, he was afraid to go because, you know, he was afraid of the savages and all these other kind of things. But do you understand this book tells us why he didn't want to go? He told God himself why he didn't. Look at chapter 4, verse number 2. Now, we're fast-forwarding here, and we'll eventually get to this part of the book. But here's what happened. When Jonah finally obeyed God after God gave him a second chance, God saved the Ninevites who repented. The whole city turned to God with an 8-word sermon. So just before we teachers and preachers think that it's our ability and our words, God took 8 words that Jonah gave in obedience to God and sent a citywide revival. We'll get to that later. But when that happened, look at what Jonah said in verse number 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. Why? Why, Jonah? What's your purpose? For I knew that thou art gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. What a sad place this preacher of God is at. You know what his purpose was? He wanted the Ninevites, excuse me folks, he wanted the Ninevites to burn in hell. That's what he's saying. Jonah's saying, God, now listen, put yourself in his place. Could you imagine if I got up and preached an 8-word sermon and the entire city of Johnson City got saved? The entire city trusted Christ. What would we be doing? Glory to God! I mean, hallelujah! Not Jonah. You know what Jonah said? Jonah said, this is why he's pointing at God. He's saying, this is why I ran from you. I did not want them to be saved. Is it possible for a child of God to get to that point? You better believe it. I'm telling you here, Jonah chose to run from God to get away from the presence of God, the place where God spoke to him, and he ran away because he hated the Ninevites. He hated them. He didn't like them. He didn't want the message to get to them, and he wanted them to split hell wide open. Question, is there any group of people in this world that you feel the same way about? We get up and we preach about Muslims. And the extremists are not, listen to me please, it is not a religion that is tolerant. I don't care who says it or what his name is. They hate Christians, and they are taught that by cutting our heads off, they will earn a place in heaven. They hate you. They hate you if you're a Christian. But there are many preachers who will stand up and say, they'll get what's coming to them someday. That is not the spirit of Jesus Christ. God loves the Muslims as much as He loves you, my friends. God loves the Muslims as much as He loves me, my friends. Have you ever been guilty of saying this? Excuse me. Listen now. I just wish that person would go to hell. By the way, the world has taken that and tried to use it as a curse word. But do you understand that you can have hatred in your heart so much that you don't want that person to experience what you've experienced in your heart? This was the purpose of Jonah. Jonah was saying, God, these people are brutal. They hate your people. They are heathenistic. They deserve hell. And the reason I went when I knew you wanted me to go is I knew that you are gracious. Thank God for that. I knew that you are merciful. And I knew that you're long-suffering. And I knew that you were determined to take them down. But if I preached, I knew that you would repent of that. And I knew that you'd save them. I'm telling you, what an awful place for Jonah to be. What an awful place for anybody to be. This is his purpose. Jonah's choice, number one, had a purpose. Number two, it had a price. Verse number three, look at it. Notice the language of Scripture. Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. The Lord had called Jonah to go to these brutal, ungodly people to share his message with them. The only thing the Lord was looking for was an obedient servant to follow his command. That's all God was looking for. However, the Bible says that Jonah went down to Joppa, got on a ship, and then the Lord, in his word, is very careful to share with us that he did not get on that ship for free. He had to pay the fare thereof. You know what that means? It means there was a price to board that ship. And I'm going to tell you something. Sin always has a payment. Here's the point I'm trying to say. Jonah had to pay something he never would have had to pay if he obeyed God. God's gifts and callings are without repentance, which means if God tells you to do it here, he's not going to change his mind over here. Means if God tells you to go soul winning here, he's not going to say, I don't want you to here. If God, sir, calls you to preach here, he doesn't change his mind back here. Ladies, if God calls you to marry a preacher, then he's not going to, I'm obviously speaking to teenagers here, he's not going to change his mind and say, no, I want you to marry an engineer. If he says, I want you to marry an engineer, he's not going to change his mind and say, I want you to marry a preacher, just in case we have engineers here. I'm not throwing punches. I'm trying to tell you that God wants every one of his children to do something for him. And what we can do is obey. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. We can obey, or we can pay some prices that we would never have to pay. There are people today who are now in the ministry. I don't know who they are, but I guarantee you there's some. There's people today who are now in the ministry because God had to get their attention first. Whether it be losing a child, whether it be losing health, whether it be something there, I'm asking, is God speaking to you and you're saying no? I'm warning you, if you say no long enough, there will be a price tag on that. You say you're scaring me? If that's what it takes. If that's what it takes. It's hard enough to live for God and you're right with Him, much less when you're wrong with Him. I'm telling you here, Spurgeon said, sin is expensive, The fare thereof must be paid, and men care not how much they pay to gratify their wrong desires, though they will grumble at any little thing which the cause of God asks them for. What a mad errand was Jonah upon when he hoped to fly from the Lord, who is alike present in all places, as much present in Tarshish as in Nineveh. In other words, Spurgeon's saying this: sin's going to cost you. You're going to end up paying it. And saying, you know, men, they don't care how much it costs them as long as they like it. But you let God ask them, and if it's just something small or something big, they complain about it. And he's saying, how crazy was Jonah to think that he could get away from God when God was just as real in Tarshish as he is in Nineveh? You cannot run from God, my friends. You cannot run from him. He's everywhere. There are people today who think that they are running from God. He's everywhere present. Makes no difference where you are at. God is already there. When God calls us to do something, we need to obey. One reason is any other way will cost us something that otherwise we would not have had to pay. Someone has said we pay our fare when we get out of the will of God. Now listen, please. No matter what direction you go, there's going to be sacrifice. You understand? I'm not saying if you go God's way that it's going to be a bed of roses, and listen, he's never going to ask you to pay for anything. I'm not saying that. But at least that payment will be in the will of God. Yet outside of the will of God, paying for that you would never have to pay for that if your heart was right with God going his direction. Then there's a third thing about his choice. It not only had a purpose and had a price. We'll close here. It caused a problem. Verses 4 and 5, 8 and 14, look at this. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Verse number 8. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Verse number 14. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. Do you see it? Do you see what I'm saying? It caused a problem. See, Jonah was running from the presence of God, and yet he was going to find out that God was everywhere, Psalm 139, 7 to 12, Hebrews 4, 13. Even in the wind and the sea, even the wind and the sea and the creatures in it, he's soon to find out, listen to God, and obey him. And notice in these verses how the men on board of this ship were put into danger due to Jonah running from the will of God. Now in verse number 4, it mentions how the Lord sent a great wind into the sea that was going to break the ship. Then the Bible says the mariners, those other men, were afraid for their lives. Then in verse 8, we see how these mariners had this trouble come upon all of them due to Jonah's disobedience. They had cast lots to see who the person was, and the Lord caused a lot to fall on Jonah. And notice in verse number 14, how the mariners cried out, asking the Lord, saying, don't let us perish for this man's life. Now get this, even though the Lord ended up using this event in the lives of these mariners, God proved himself to these mariners through this. And even though that's the truth now, he did prove himself through it as the only living God. The point that comes out here is to show how Jonah's disobedience to God put not only himself in danger, but those who were closest to him at this time. In the same way, we need to understand that when God tells us go and we say no, we are endangering our lives and we are causing a problem in the lives of those closest to us. I'm telling you that these men that were on the ship with Jonah, their lives were put in jeopardy because this man said no to the will of God. Now, how do you think that applies to us? We've got two precious children, my wife and I. I've got a beautiful wife. Loves God inside and out. And I know she's got one hunk of a man right here. I know some of you are saying it's not a hunk, it's a chunk of a man. That's what you think, right? Here's what I'm saying. If God tells me go and I say no, I am now endangering those in my ship. I am endangering those closest to me. You say, I love my wife, I love my husband, I love my son, I love my daughter, I love my parents, I love my friends, I love this, I love these people. These people who are close, I love them, I would die for them. Yet many are putting their lives in danger because of a disobedient heart. So I ask you, has God told you to do something and your answer has been no? Somebody says, wait a minute, I didn't say no to God. I just said not now. Let me remind you, nobody stands still in the commands of God, my friends. There is no not now with God. If God says go and you say maybe later, you know what God says? Translate it, no. That's what you just told him. If you say no, there has to be a purpose. Would you agree that Jonah's purpose was selfish? He didn't want to go. He tried to get away from God's voice, and he hated those people wanting to burn in hell. Is that selfish? Is it? Yes or no? So is any other excuse. You know why people say no to God? Because they just don't want to do it. Let's just stop All of these complaints and all these reasons. Well, I can't because, and I. Why don't we just say it the way? Let's just cut it straight. The reason somebody says, God, I know you want me to, and I say no, is because of fleshly reasons. Now that being the case, I'm simply trying to tell you that God loves Jews and Gentiles. God loves neighbors and loves those across the world. God loves all people. I don't care what they've done or what they are doing. God loves everybody. The Lord has died for the sins of the world, my friends. And God tells His children, I want you to go tell them what I've done for you. How many of us say, I'll go there, but I'm not going there, God. I'll go over here, but I'm not going to go across the street and tell that neighbor who stabbed me in the back. For all I'm concerned, he can die without Christ and split hell wide open. Do you know there's Christians that think that way? What he did to me, I hope he never gets forgiveness for it. That's what Jonah's problem is here. God help us, my friends. And as we come to a close, let me remind you that if you say no to God, you are now endangering those you love the most. I'm not saying that Jonah loved these people. I'm applying that those that are closest to you will be those whose lives are in jeopardy if you're outside of the will of God. Just obey the Lord. This is the message of Jonah. Just obey the Lord, even if it's unpleasant, even if you don't want to, even if you don't like it, just obey God. Because He knows what He's doing a whole lot more than you and I and Jonah. Let's report for duty. Amen. Yes, sir, God. I'll do what you tell me to do. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Help us today to be faithful to you. Help us as we continue with this thought tonight. May you help us to understand what you're saying. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. Are you a child of God? Or are you like a Ninevite? I'm not asking are you cruel and brutal. I'm just asking are you lost? The Ninevites were lost. The reason they were cruel and brutal is because they didn't know Jesus as their Savior. The Lord wanted to change that. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ? Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Oh, I'm not asking, are you brutal and unkind? I'm just asking, are you born again? Do you know for sure that heaven's your home? Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be saved. This gracious God who loved the Ninevites who were that brutal, he's speaking to me, telling me he loves me. And I want to trust him as my Savior. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ. Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. And there's something in my life. And understand, this is something God told Jonah to do. See, a lot of times people just liken being disobedient to things that we should not be doing, that he's told us not to do. But in this situation, it was something he told Jonah to, I want you to do this. And he did not do it. Is there something in this life that God is speaking to your heart about? You say, Jody, God is speaking to me about an area. It could be your Bible reading. It could be a call on your life. It could be being a soul winner. It could be getting something right. I don't know what it is, but something that God is speaking to you about, and you find yourself on the boat going to Tarshish. In other words, you say, Jody, right now, I know what God wants me to do, and I'm doing the opposite. I'm going the opposite direction. I'm not obeying that. And you say, Jody, pray for me that I will get off the boat of Tarshish and get back to Nineveh where God wants me to get. Be honest. Would you raise your hand if that's you? You say, Jody, pray for me. Yes, yes. Several hands there. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Let's stand together, shall we? Father, take it and use it in a great way. Help us to understand that really there is no running from you. We cannot run anywhere where you are not. Help us just to report for duty. If you tell us to go, help us to go. You tell us to stay, help us to stay. Help us just to obey you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place and come? As Brother Gary sings, you come on. Come on now. Would you
have thine own way, Lord.
So I want to get off the boat.
Have thine own way.
I want to get back on dry land.
Thou art the potter.
I want to get back home.
I am the
I want to get to Nineveh.
Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded.
We're playing through softly. Those who are getting baptized, I believe we have at least one today. If you want to make your way and get prepared for that. Brother Gary, I'm going to turn the service over to you, sir.
Thank you. You may be seated. I have a couple of very quick announcements. We'll take the offering, we'll have the baptismal service, and we'll go home. So hold on to your hats. A couple of quick announcements. Number one, today is Bertie Harrison's birthday. I don't see her. She is 95 years old today. You say you don't mention my birthday. You're not 95 yet. When you get there, we'll mention it, all right? So we congratulate her today. Also, there are several books in the lobby. The book on Islam that you've ordered, and also Dr. Comfort's book. If you may not have ordered that, but that's available to anyone who wants one, and those are available today. Next Sunday, let me mention the time change is next Sunday. If you miss it and you come to church, you'll be in Sunday school, so we're not going to even tell you about it. So that'd be great, all right? Also, there is a meeting. If you work with children in our church, 18 and under, raise your hand, please. 18 and under. There's a meeting for you next Sunday night. And make sure you're present for that. Very important meeting. There's also an authorization form you need to turn in. If you turn in before the meeting, you won't get razzed about it. So I would encourage you to get that in. That'll be good. Finally, Bible conference. Hope you have it in your schedule. November 13th through the 16th. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So plan your schedules now to be here for that event. It'll be a blessing and a help to you. You can see the preachers will be preaching for that. That is coming up next month, just about a couple weeks away now. Gentlemen, if you'll come, we'll pray, take our offering, and then we'll have our baptismal service. Lord, we do thank you for a negative example to help us to do what's right. And Lord, help us, I pray, as you speak to our hearts, to be obedient to you, to not be like Jonah, but to say yes, Lord, and to do whatever you'd have us to do. Bless this offering, this one who's to be baptized this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This is Sierra Goodman, and she has made a profession of faith. We've checked on this, and she's coming to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Could I get a motion that we receive her upon her baptism, please, if you wouldn't mind? So somebody make that motion, Brother Steve, a second. Somebody make a second, please, if you wouldn't mind. Brother Mike, all in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Aye. Opposed, same sign. So carry. Again, this is Sierra Goodman. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize thee, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. Amen. We're so happy she's here. It's always a blessing to see folks following the Lord in baptism. Amen. And she wanted to be a member here. So we had to tell her that she just became one there by being baptized. That's a precious thing. I want to encourage you to be back tonight. We're going to continue with this same thought here tonight, and I hope you'll be here to hear this opening point tonight. I think it's important that you hear it. Okay. Amen. Let's all stand together. I'm going to ask Brother Joe Shelton, sir, if you wouldn't mind, to lift your voice and close us in prayer, sir, please.